As the Democratic candidates gear up for tonight's debate, we're looking at where they stand on foreign policy. Nehal Tusi is a foreign affairs correspondent for Politico. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I want to start with Iran. So Democratic candidates have criticized the Trump administration's decision to kill the Iranian general Qassem Soleimani. But Senator Bernie Sanders was asked on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last month how he would respond to some of Iran's provocations. And he called for getting Iran and Saudi Arabia to settle their differences.
I think what we do is use our diplomatic power and our resources to demand that these people, whether they like it or not, are going to sit in a room and they're going to start working out the differences they have. Because I think the American people are tired of getting sucked into wars that are a result of their differences.
Nehal, I'm curious from you, what are some of the other candidates saying about how they would handle the relationship with Iran?
Well, pretty much everybody among the Democrats is big on pursuing diplomacy with Iran and other actors. They feel like under the Trump administration, it's been too much about sanctions, too much about military force. And so they say, look, we'll use every form of diplomacy we can think of, including turning to other partners, bringing in, of course, the Europeans, even the Russians, the Chinese, and trying to use this lever more than the Trump administration has. Mm-hmm. Another thing that the Democrats generally say is that they want to rejoin the nuclear deal with Iran,
yes,
the one that Trump left. And so that's a big part of what they would say is their diplomatic push. The problem is that, look, putting Saudi Arabia and Iran together in a room to work out their differences, and it sounds really nice on paper, but I mean, if this was something that would have worked, you would have think people would have done it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And going back to the nuclear deal is simply not going to be that easy, given that there are a number of deadlines and aspects of the nuclear deal that are going to be close to expiring. And Iran is going to want not only sanctions relief from the United States, but possibly even compensation for the last 2 years of the U.S. not being in the nuclear deal and Iran having been punished by sanctions that Trump has put back on. So this is like, it's super complicated and it's really nice. You know, the Democrats are saying things now like, oh, diplomacy and partners and, you know, we're just going to rejoin the nuclear deal. But, you know, reality is just much more complicated.
There was also news this week about a deal that could end America's longest war, the war in Afghanistan. Pete Buttigieg is the only candidate who served in that war. He told CBS News in September that the U.S. should wind things down there. And I want to note that we're about to play some sound, but it has a little bit of noise in it because it was during an outdoor interview in September. Let's listen.
We need to wrap this up quickly, and we do need to move to where there is only the minimum required residual force to protect American lives. But we need to make sure this is done in a way that makes sense. That means making sure the Afghan government is at the table, not only the Taliban, and it means making sure we get some assurances on counterterrorism so that we're not back there again in a few years.
We have yet to see how this latest agreement between the U.S. and the Taliban will play out, but what are some of the other ways Democrats are saying they would take this on and really addressing the complexity of this kind of exit?
Well, I mean, there are some who are basically taking like the very progressive position of we have to get out, period. We have to end the endless war in Afghanistan. Buttigieg is actually one of the more moderate ones. Like, he's openly admitting that he wants to leave some U.S. troops there to deal with things like counterterrorism and that type of thing, and to help make sure that the Afghan government doesn't collapse the minute that the U.S. leaves. The others are not quite as forward in admitting that. But I think, again, once they're in office, they're going to look at the situation and they're going to say, okay, well, maybe we do need to leave a few thousand U.S. troops there, but we're definitely not going to call them combat troops. They're going to be advisors or trainers or counterterrorism, I don't know, people who help assistance, anything but combat troops, because that's really kind of the definition that it comes down to. Recently, Elizabeth Warren, like, you know, made this thing where she said on a debate stage, like, I want to get out of the Middle East. And then later on, she had to clarify, oh, I just meant I want to pull our combat troops out of the Middle East.
Vice President Joe Biden has taken some heat for his vote in 2002 to authorize the Iraq War. What do you make of how Biden is grappling with the Iraq War
his lack of clarity on this issue, I think, is definitely going to be a challenge for him. And you can understand why his, especially the progressive candidates who are trying to defeat him in the primary, would use it as a cudgel against him.
I mean, Sanders has also been criticized for voting to authorize the war in Afghanistan.
Well, I think that's part of the issue, right? I mean, it's trying to make the distinction between, you know, the good war and the stupid war, right? And so, like, you've got the Democrats who say, look, I was fine with going into Afghanistan. That was a noble war. We had to find justice for September 11th. But Iraq was a war of choice, and so it was a stupid war, and so we shouldn't have gone in there.
I want to talk to you about North Korea. So last year around this time, President Trump met with Kim Jong-un in Hanoi. But an agreement was not reached on getting North Korea to dismantle its nuclear arsenal. What are Democrats saying about how they'd handle North Korea?
Well, they have different approaches. Like Elizabeth Warren and others have, you know, said they might be willing to meet with Kim if there's a process involved that leads up to it. Like they wouldn't just give out a meeting without any conditions. Others like Joe Biden have said that, no, they're not going to meet with Kim. And they think that that was a huge mistake on the part of President Trump to have met with Kim Jong-un three times. But I don't see any of them saying anything creative about how they're going to convince Kim Jong-un to give up his arsenal. The thing that, frankly, nobody is willing to really say, because, you mean, it would be like probably like political suicide to say it, is simply, guess what, guys? North Korea is a nuclear power, and it's not going to give up its nuclear weapons, and we're going to have to learn how to deal with it. And that's not something any of them are willing to say, including, I should add, President Trump.
I want to ask you about former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Many people have probably seen his ads criticizing Donald Trump, but a lot of his positions are not well known. What do we know about where he stands on foreign policy?
Well, we know that he thinks about issues like climate change and trade in the broader context of foreign policy, right? So he also is not averse to the idea of having to deal with authoritarian regimes. He may not necessarily prefer them, but he kind of accepts the reality that they're there. So on the issue, for instance, of China and how to deal with China, you know, he's going to take a typically, you know, hawkish stand about China in general, but he also is very realistic that the Chinese are people we're going to have to deal with on issues like climate change in particular. This is a major power, and they are someone that you can't avoid. So for him, I think it's going to have to be a very like pragmatist, practical type of approach if he becomes president.
Aside from specific proposals, some Democrats are also offering kind of this larger vision to counter President Trump on foreign policy. Here's Senator Amy Klobuchar at the Council on Foreign Relations back in December describing her plan on foreign policy, which she calls the five R's.
Restoring American leadership, repairing our alliances, rejoining international agreements, responding appropriately to the challenges that come before us, and reasserting American values.
What do you think Democrats are actually putting forward? What's the big message to Americans when it comes to foreign policy?
I would say the big message is we are not alone, and we have to turn to our friends and rely on our friends. This whole idea of, alliances is, I think, probably the one key message that they all want to get across is we're not going to spurn people in Europe. We're not going to ignore our allies in South Korea and Japan. We need them, and we really can't do this without them. And the trick for them is going to be, how are they going to manage to do that without being accused by Republicans of, say, you know, going on an apology tour, right? So that's where it's challenging. But Trump has made it very clear that he does not see alliances the same way as past presidents have, Republican or Democrat. And I think that that's very much a key area that Democrats are going to exploit, is simply saying America is going to be the leader, but we're not going to be doing this alone.
Nahal Tusi is foreign affairs correspondent for Politico. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.